Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Harvest Baptist Church. Glad you're here today. Pastor Cook is out of town. I'm filling in for him today and on Wednesday night, but I'm glad to be a part of your church. Encourage you to participate. We're going to have real men sing real loud, so if you can come on down. There are all 12 of you, I think there are. And we'll have our choir this morning, but just glad you're here. Pastor Cook was trying to have a video announcement for you, but we couldn't get it to connect and work, so he loves you, he misses you, and he said he's not here, but he's getting some little R&R time away, so you pray for him and Miss Michelle while they're gone, and pray for us as we continue having services like we're supposed to. Come on down, man, I'm trying to stall so you can all get up here. Amen. All right, brother. Let me open in prayer. I apologize. I'll open in prayer. I got all the men distracted me trying to make sure they're in their place. Let's pray. Today, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you today. I do pray for Pastor Cook and his wife, Lord. Be with them. And we have numerous people traveling. Lord, watch over them. Keep them safe. Bring them safely back. But, Lord, we ask you to just meet with us today. Talk to us. Speak to us. Encourage us as we look at your word and as we sing your praises. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, of becoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing.
Receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Do encourage you to participate. And amen. And Brother Draper, would you please lead us, sir?
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. And truly, we look forward to your coming. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and saving us. Heavenly Father, just what a glorious day it truly will be. This morning we're blessed to be able to give back a small portion of that which you've so bountifully given us. We pray your blessing upon it and upon our service this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
¶¶
Amen. We're going to go, Lord, in prayer for the services, not just for our church, but all those churches that are preaching the gospel this morning, that God will move in and amongst them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you acknowledging we are nothing without you. You know every heart here. You know every situation, every condition. Lord, there are some here today that are hurting, and they need a word from you. Lord, I pray you'd meet that need. Use me as a mouthpiece. Get me out of the way. Just use me as a conduit to preach your word. Lord, I do pray for all the preachers that are going to be ascending the pulpit today. God, fill them with your spirit. Hide them behind the cross. Help that not be about them. Help it to be all about you. And I pray for the people. Lord, I pray for this church. I'm not their pastor. But Lord, I pray that I can be a substitute today to minister to them. Do pray for Pastor Cook. I pray you give him just a joyous time away with his wife and visiting family. Help him to get some rest and recuperation and bring him back to us that he may minister to us. Lord, once again, I pray for this church. I thank you for these men that are interceding even now, for the church that's interceding on behalf of their pastor. Lord, use us today to glorify and honor you. And we will give you all the thanks and praise you for the blessings. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother, for that song. Amen. Go ahead and take your Bibles, if you will. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For those who do not know, I am Michael Hull and my beautiful bride, Denise. She's unable to be with me today. Our church is having vacation Bible school in 2 weeks, and she's taught for 20 years in vacation Bible school. And we have about 200 kids that show up during our vacation Bible school. So a lot of work goes into that. She's got to decorate her classroom, study for all the lessons, and just a whole lot. You can imagine having 200 kids. A lot goes into making that happen. And so you pray for her as she's preparing and getting ready. So she chose ministry over me. So I'm a little disappointed. I'm praying about it. But you pray for me and my attitude about it. For those who don't know, we started Second Wind Ministries. We were here 6 months ago, and y'all took us on for support. And as you see, we encourage pastors and their wives, short-term furlough relief, pastoral leave, and pastor pulpit fill. Last time I was here, I was telling you about we were going to Sri Lanka. And you, your church, made that happen. Massive love offering, a gift helping towards our tickets, and just being a massive blessing for the missionary there. Our purpose was to go, and I'll incorporate it through the message today. I'll try to give you an update and preach so we don't be here for 3 hours. Unless you want to, I can do the update, and then I can once again, just a massive blessing. Missionary over there, a missionary family. It's been there four, going on 5 years, and never had anybody come and visit them. Nobody come to encourage them. Not that they weren't being prayed for and supported by those back home, but when you get on the field and you're in a foreign country and you're all by yourself, those in the military know about that, being deployed or being separated from family. And when you get a letter, you get a care package, you get something, somebody's thinking about you, that they can go on for another month, another year, just on that. And so going over there to encourage them, we did not go over there to replace them, to take over, to teach them how to do it. I came and just said, I want to be a servant. I want to be a minister. What can I do to help? And we handed out over 4,000 tracts. I preached numerous times. We saw two young ladies get saved, and we praise God for that. It's always I'll kind of incorporate in the message, but like the pastor preaches and preaches and preaches and preaches, and then a guest speaker comes in, says the exact same thing that the pastor's been saying, but then they walk the aisle, then they want to join the church, then things want to happen. And once again, that's because the pastor, he planted, he fertilized, he watered, and then God gave the increase. And so we thank God for all that we were able to do, and you had a massive part in that. That's credit to your account, those souls getting saved. And so I want to thank you for being a part of that. And once again, I found out I like chicken curry. I'm a cheeseburger, tacos, pizza guy. I don't like chicken. It's so bland. It's boring. There's no flavor. Why eat it? I didn't realize there's flavors out there you can add to that chicken. And I'm eating my first helping of curry, super nervous, but trying to be a good support for the missionary. My nose is running. My eyes are watering. My lips are burning. I'm drinking a whole liter of water trying to get it down, and I couldn't stop eating it. It was delicious. My wife was shocked. The drapers still are in shock that I ate that because it wasn't a cheeseburger, taco, or pizza. But after 42 days, I was sick of chicken. I wanted a burger and fries. So when I got back, that was the first place I went, missed Mexican food. But the whole purpose of going there was to be a blessing. And today, I want to look at teamwork in ministry. So if you follow along here in 1 Corinthians, well before we get there, I want to show you kind of where this comes from. Having teamwork in ministry, in Philippians 1:27, you know, turn there, it should be on the screen. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I don't have the same talents and abilities that your pastor has. I don't have the same talents and abilities the missionary have. And all the churches we've gone to and went in and presented our ministry and try to be a help and try to be a blessing, we're all different. We all have different styles of the way we preach, the way we talk, how we interact. Some are make jokes and are funny. Some are boring and dry humor. And that's okay. God uses all of us. But the whole point, we're striving together. Today, your pastor is not able to be with you for reasons that they're between him and his family. And obviously, he keeps you posted and abreast of what's going on. But once again, I am here, come alongside him, striving together in the ministry, that though he may not be here, the ministry goes on. You see me carry that bulletin around. I want to make sure I do exactly how he wants it, the order of service. I'm prior military. I do what I'm told. I know everybody answers to somebody. We all have an authority. And once again, if that's how he wants it done, then that's how I want to do it. And when it comes to preaching, obviously, it'll still be the same Bible, the same gospel, the same information, just a different method of getting it to you. But we're striving together. That implies a cooperative team spirit where believers work together towards a common goal. You look at the last part of that verse, for the faith of the gospel. It's not we're striving together to make a name for ourselves. Oh, that's Pastor Cook. He's amazing. His name's in lights. He's famous. No, it's not about me. Most of you don't even know who I am, and that's okay, because it's not about me. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you take that message, whether it's here or Sri Lanka or all over the world where these flags represent countries. Now, when I was there, I had to speak through an interpreter. And obviously, I talk fast and excited and bounce around, and the interpreter's got to figure out what I'm saying, and he's Sri Lankan, and some of the terms don't transfer over some of the place. If I talk about Walmart, they don't have a clue what that is. So I'm just trying to make sure if I make an illustration, I make it appropriate. We were at the market, and they're like, oh, we understand that. But once again, it's all for us working together for the faith of the gospel. I want you to look around you this morning. When you pulled in today, somebody had to take care of the yard. I'm sorry, the rocks. Somebody had to make sure the church was clean. Somebody had to make sure the lights were working and the AC, praise God, was on. When I left Alaska, it was 33 degrees. When I landed on Monday night, it was 106. I told the person picking me up, I said, when you pull up to the gate number 3 or whatever, there's going to be a melted snowman, a puddle of water. That's me. Just scoop me up and put me back in the car. The pastor who took over the church in Alaska from me, he's laughing his head off. He's from New Mexico, and he loves the heat, and so he's mad at me because he came to Alaska, and it was 33 degrees in May already. But once again, you look around you, you look outside and you look inside, there's a lot of people that make this happen. It's not just the pastor, he's not here. It's not just the pastor's wife, she's not here. That means other people had to step up, or they already have that responsibility. And when you look at that responsibility, even if it's maintenance of the yard or cleaning the restroom or whatever it may be, and you realize, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm not doing it for a pat on the back. Yes, a pat on the back is nice. It's nice. Hey, the yard looks well. Hey, that paint job looks good. Hey, the latrine, the restroom is clean. It's okay. Hey, you did a good job. But once again, that's not why we do it. It should be, I want that bathroom to be clean so that when visitors come and they have to use the restroom, they don't walk in there and there's a mess, there's water everywhere, the toilets aren't clean. They're like, well, I'm not going back to that church. They didn't get a chance to hear the gospel preached. They didn't get a chance because they were already offended, upset, or legitimately sometimes. So don't tell me that job's not important. We're striving together. Yes, we look at the pulpit and the preacher as far as, well, that's the main part of it. That's just where the actual word of God is being preached. It's being lived out everywhere else. From the instruments to the singing, whatever it is, we're all striving together for the faith of the gospel. Teamwork. I'll use a sports analogy. You may understand it. In football, who gets all the glory? The quarterback and sometimes the running back. But if that guard doesn't block that guy, push him out of the way, the running back doesn't run through. He doesn't score the touchdown. The quarterback gets hammered, knocked down, broken. That guy's important. But that guy doesn't get all the limelight, the news media. They'll come, hey, that was the best block ever. You're amazing. No, they go to the running back who ran for 150 yards and gets $50 million a year, whatever it is. So yes, we may look at it sometimes, the missionary or the pastor or whatever, and think, man, they get all the glory. They should be just reflecting it back to Christ. It's all because of Jesus any of us are here. So please keep that in mind today, because I want to show you a biblical example that will bring all this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another say, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for today. Meet with us. Help us to understand and apply this to our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The background of this letter is for the believers in Corinth who were not striving together very well. Some were striving against one another instead of with one another. But in Corinth and our churches today, believers need some specific instructions on how they can truly function as a team. I want you to see, first of all, the mistake of competitiveness in the ministry. And it's not just at the preacher. It could be at the piano. It could be, how come she got to sing a special and I did not? How come she teaches, he teaches Sunday school and I do not? How come, whatever it may be. In a healthy and happy family, the members don't compete against one another. They work with one another. But in Corinth, the competitiveness was developing between Paul and Apollos. But the funny thing was, neither Paul or Apollos was behind it. Other people were behind it. Oh, I'm a Pastor Cook, and I'm a Pastor Hall. I'm of what? No. You come together and realize we're working for the same goal. Whoever was behind it, Paul was going to put a stop to it. The Spirit was not going to help reach the world for Jesus Christ. So what Paul had to say about this competitive behavior, first of all, we look at the characteristics of this behavior. Paul describes their behavior, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions. Paul uses these three words to talk about their thoughts, their words, and their deeds. First of all, envying. This describes how they felt. Don't raise your hand, but unfortunately, there is that competitiveness. Envying, man, I wish I got to sing a special. I wish I could, whatever it is, fill in the blank. Envying results from discontentment. Instead of feeling gratitude for what they had received from the Lord, these believers envied others for what they had received. Later we're going to read one of the things. I mean, we're not reading it today, but you get on further on chapter 12 and you learn about envying other spiritual gifts. And I wish I had that gift. I wish I could do whatever it was. Instead of realizing, this is how God made me. I'm going to bloom right where I'm planted. I'm going to use my gifts. So you throw us, maybe you're not the pastor, but you are any of the multitude of other things I've already described, and there's many more I did not say, so I didn't say the one you're working in. I apologize. But once again, we're not doing it for us. We're doing it for the Lord. And when you realize it, come along, that all of us have different gifts, and God puts us in the body that he sees fit. We can't all be the big toe. Somebody's got to be a little toe. We can't all be the eyes. Some of us got to be the ears. I tell you what, you think it's not important until you stub that little toe. You get in the middle of the night and you're trying to go get, you hit that little toe, it affects the entire body. First of all, maybe the voice may get used, screaming, yelling, hopefully nothing derogatory is coming out. But then it affects the back, the hips, the legs. It affects everybody. So realize that little toe is important. And so don't look at it as, oh, I'm just a little toe. I'm an important part of the body. I have a good role that God has put me in. Some may get mad that they're not the teacher or the preacher, but your gifts and ability may differ. Whatever they are, use them for God. When I come to the field, like I said, I went over there to Sri Lanka, and the missionary taught Sunday school, and I preached the morning service. And like I said, a young lady gets saved. I'm preaching the same gospel, preaching the same book that he is. It's just he's been watering, fertilizing, watering. And then I came along, and then God gave the increase. Neither is the missionary anything or me anything. It's God that gives the increase. So I tell our church, once again, I made sure we all know about curb appeal. If in Alaska, we have grass, not rocks. Usually it's 2 foot of snow. But if that snow is not moved out of the parking lot, if the steps aren't cleaned off, if the ramp is not taken care of, that person can't get into the church. So the preacher never has an opportunity, but somebody has to shovel snow. Sometimes it is the preacher, because you got to get there early. Before anybody gets there that's handicapped or in a wheelchair or a walker and they use that ramp, that ramp has to be cleared off. So that means somebody has to get up earlier than everybody else to make sure that's taken care of. And sometimes when they're getting out and they've got that wheelchair, they got that walker or whatever it is, they're thinking, God, somebody showed up early and cleaned that off. Just as vital to them hearing the message, there was envying. There was also strife. That describes what they said. What was in their hearts came out of their mouth. And it always does. What's on the inside comes on the outside. Matthew 12:34, a generation of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Don't raise your hand. I'm not pointing fingers. But somebody say, I can play the piano better than her. I can do this better. I can teach better than him. Heck, I could substitute pastor, preach better than Pastor Hall. If it's on the inside, it's going to come on the outside. And so if you come with a negative attitude and you can do it better, it's going to be hard to have unity and striving together for the faith of the gospel. Like I said, I didn't go to Sri Lanka until I'm, sit down, I've got this. Let me show you how it's done. No. He was called to that field, to those people. I come along, and he's like, what do you want to do today? I said, whatever you want to do. I'm here to help you. I'm here to encourage you. And I told you before, I said, even, he's over there, he's not by himself. There are other missionaries in the country, but it's like having a pastor here in Goodyear and another pastor over in Tempe or Tucson. I mean, you could drive and see them, but you're really not crossing paths that often. And so it's like, if we just have a Bible study, if we just go hand out tracts, if we go clean your apartment or clean the car or whatever your normal life is like, I just want to be beside you. You remember my presentation, I just want to help hold up Moses' hands. Moses was the man of God for those people, not me. But I want to help hold his hands up. I want to strengthen him. I want him to stay on the field another year. Because like I say, he's been there 4 years and really had no encouragement. I'm sure he gets texts and emails from family and even from local churches. They're praying for him. But when you're there all by yourself and somebody says, I'm here to help you in whatever you need. Really? Okay. Get a little pep in their step. They were going to go out soul winning, hand out tracts, but now there's two of us, well, four of us, my wife and his wife. We handed out over 4,000 tracts. Now, do I know how many got saved from those tracts? I do not. It's my job to plant and to water. It's God's job to give the increase. This group was characterized by arguing, complaining, and conflicting. They could have learned from the mistakes of their forefathers, of whom it was said in Numbers 11:1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. When I think about murmuring and complaining about the church or about anything, I realize God hears it. And he's not pleased. Now I realize there's certain times that a legitimate concern comes up and it's legitimate to be brought forth. I understand that. But complaining about, I don't like those flags. I think we should put them over here. I think they look better because everybody looking forward can see all the flags. You can't see them in the back. Some of you are going, I never even thought about it. Exactly. But somebody wants to murmur and complain. Lastly, describes divisions. That's how they acted. The Corinthian Christians began drawing lines and choosing sides. If only they would have realized they were really setting themselves in opposition to God. If God called Pastor Cook to be the pastor here, then he's the pastor. You can't compare him to your previous pastor. You can't compare him to your pastor where you used to live when you moved here. Well, our other pastor did it this way. He's not the pastor of this church. When I come here, I'm not the pastor of the church. I'm just standing in the gap. That's why I'm so conscious. I'll make sure, okay, I'll go to Brother Cherry. Okay, when do I say this? What does this come up? What happens after this? I don't want him to watch a live stream and go, oh, and he messed it all up. Because that's his order of service or how he likes it done. I'm not coming in to fix it, correct it, change it. I've got a better plan. No. I'm just holding up his hands. I want him to get some R&R and see his family and deal with things he's got to deal with and come back refreshed. And then he's like, and then to be able to preach to you what God gives him. Let me tell you, there's a passage. I don't have it on the screen. You might want to write it down. Proverbs 13:10. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. If there's contention in the church, the Bible says because of pride. It may be pride on the pastor's side. It may be pride from somebody in the pew. It may be pride from any of those envying, strife, and divisions. If you've got a problem in your home, husband and wife, there's contention, there's pride. I'm the man of the house. You're supposed to do what I say. You're supposed to submit to me. Well, you're supposed to reverence and honor and love me. Well, as soon as you start submitting, I'll start loving. Well, as soon as you start loving, I'll start submitting. Hello. Contention at work. There's problems, contention. It's pride. It may be you as the employee thinking you should be the employer. I have more schooling. I have more knowledge. I'm just plain smarter than him or her. Vice versa. Only by pride cometh contention. But I want you to catch it again. It's not Paul. It's not Apollos. That's not the pride. It's the others in the church. He's saying, I'm getting ahead of myself. The behavior was not the will of God. And this type of behavior stops ministry in its tracks. An army of soldiers fighting amongst themselves can take no enemy ground. There has to be unity. They have to realize the general commanded this. And we say, yes, sir, to the sergeants, the lieutenants, whatever it is. And you go in. You accomplish the mission. Because you have the same goal. Now, they're not striving for the ministry, but they're striving for the defense of our nation. You don't want them fighting amongst themselves. You want them to have submission to the authority of the leaders and do what they'd have them to do. The conclusion about their behavior, first of all, he said, you're acting like kids. You're being childish. You and I both know if you've had kids, fighting over whose toy. He's touching me. He's in the back seat. He's touching me. We're going to go away. And we look at them and go, you're so childish. How many times could God look down at us and go, oh my goodness, you're acting like little kids. Paul says, I'm done with this. It's not about me. Oh, I'm a Paul. Why are you following me? Why are you giving me? I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm just a servant. Paul concluded their behavior was childish. In verse 1 and 2 of this chapter, he expresses the Corinthians were acting like babies. We expect babies to be self-centered, temperamental, demanding, defenseless, incapable of caring for themselves, and aware of what's best for them. But we don't expect them to stay that way. That's why you feed them the milk. That's why you start feeding formula. That's why you start introducing vegetables. You want them to grow. You want them to be eventually self-sufficient where you don't have to feed them. You can just put them on a plate in front of them and they'll eat it. But he says, you're acting like little kids. Secondly, he says, you're carnal. He uses this word in verse 3 and in verse 4. Are you not carnal? Are you not carnal? This word means according to the flesh. In fact, this word is used 6 times when writing to the Corinthians, and they are the only letter recipients to receive and this objective, this adjective to them, describing them. According to the flesh, that is, the behavior was not consistent with the new man, but rather the old man, unsaved way of living. Paul's conclusion is that competitiveness is carnal. It's of the flesh. He points that out to them. Maybe some of you here today go, yeah, that's me. I've been murmuring, complaining, griping. Maybe not publicly. Maybe not out loud. But in your heart, maybe that's you. Maybe it's not. Maybe you think, dude, why is he preaching this? Our church is amazing. Lord willing, it is. What I'm saying is that in the ministry, our ministry, going and striving together for the faith of the gospel, to give preachers their second wind, to give missionaries their second wind, to come in and just, hey, I will, if I need to step in and you need a break, amen. You want me to come alongside you? Amen. That's not competition. It's not I'm better, I'm smarter. No, I'm looking at the missionary going, you gave up everything to come over here. I'm coming over here for a little over a month and I'm going back. I get to go back and eat cheeseburgers, tacos, and pizza. No competition. I'm just here to help. I just want to serve. But then we see number 2, the miracle of cooperation in the ministry. In the heart of this chapter, Paul shares 2 principles concerning cooperation. The first was horizontal, cooperation among men. The second is vertical, cooperation with God. I want you to catch this. There is a division of responsibility. In verse 8, he says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the increase. No doubt, Paul and Apollos were different men with different personalities, backgrounds, and strength. Paul's background involved the exclusive Pharisaical training at the rabbi under the esteemed Gamaliel. He sat at his feet and learned all kinds of stuff about the law. Apollos, on the other hand, was from Alexandria, a city where great philosophy prevailed. Both Paul and Apollos had won folks to Christ in Corinth. And as human nature would have it, some were drawn towards Paul's style and others towards Apollos. I understand that. The person that led me to the Lord and taught me the Word of God, I mean, I'm obviously drawn more to them because they had a unique impact in my life. And those who were saved under Pastor Cook's ministry, or if you got saved when you were 12 years old, years ago in another state somewhere else, you can still look back at that person, that Sunday school teacher, that nursery worker, whatever it was that brought you to Christ, and there's a fondness. God, I'm so glad they surrendered and served God in that 6 and 7 year old class, or during VBS, my wife teaches the 10 and 12 year olds. 20 years. And she realizes our time in ministry, we're moving on from Alaska, and she's probably her last time to teach VBS in that capacity. Obviously, we're not getting any younger. There's more younger people in the church that have more energy and more excitement, and one of them will probably get the class. But she's like, I know it's probably my last time. And it's not the same kids. She has 10 and 12 year olds. So she may have the ones that were here last year that were 10, she'll have them this year.
But over 20 years, some of those kids are 20. They were 10. They're 20, 25 years old, and some of them are still in the church. And they still go to Miss Denise with fond memories. I remember when you taught my VBS class. She's going to miss that. I'm going to miss it for her because she loves it so much. She's like, I want to go with you. I want to be there for you. But I got to get my class ready. I want to be there for those kids. And that makes me love her even more. Going, yes, you stay. You minister to them. Now, once again, next year when somebody else teaches the class, they'll teach it totally different than her. There's not a competition. She'll be praying for that class like you won't believe. That the kids she had last year that have come back for this year, I pray that if they haven't got saved, I pray they get saved this year. And if she hears they get saved, she's not going to be mad at that teacher. Well, what'd you do differently? I've been doing this 20 years. No. Who is Paul? Who is Paul? Ministers. Servants. Paul had it right. He's telling the people, why are you putting us up on these pedestals? Why are you thinking we're all that? We are nothing. It's all about God. He's the one that gives the increase. Since there are so many functions to fulfill in the local church, we need to remember, with varying gifts, experience, and perspectives, having different members is an asset to the church, not a liability. Somebody comes along and they're a gifted and talented teacher. Praise God, God brought him here. Paul used an example of himself and Apollos to point out three facts concerning the divisions of labor in the local assembly. First of all, our role is servants. If we would all think that. Don't think, man, I wish the pastor thought that. If we would all think, I'm just a servant. Not, I clean the church. My responsibility. God, I'm just a servant. I want that if Jesus Christ showed up and had to use the restroom, that restroom is ready for him to sit on it, for him to go use it. If you swept the floor and I want to sweep it like Jesus is going to walk in here and go, good job. You're like, ah, it's good enough here. They won't notice. Just get the few spots. I'm done. Do it for Jesus. You work in that nursery. Do it for Jesus. You're in the nursery so that somebody can sit in the auditorium uninterrupted by their children and hear the gospel preached. You could have a part in that husband and wife, mom, single mom, whatever it may be, getting saved. And therefore, that would transform that child's life that you're ministering to, loving on, so that when they get home and all of a sudden mom, dad, whoever gets saved and starts learning the Bible and starts growing and start raising that child, maybe that child doesn't have to go into sin like mom and dad did. May not have the same heartaches as mom and dad did. That child may get saved and go on to be something great for God. All because you were in the nursery. See, we don't look at it that way. Oh, I got these snotty kids in here. A preacher's going even longer than normal. Figured it'd be on the Sunday I'm working in church. What if you flip that whole attitude? God, I just want to be a servant. This kid's hurting. He's alone, single parent, divorced, all the life. Let me just have this 30, 45 minutes to love on this kid, whether I'm on the floor playing cars, whatever it may be. And while you're in there praying, God, speak to the parents. Help them to come to see the truth of the Word of God. That you could use me to impact an entire life for the cause of Christ by working in the nursery? Yes. It's not a competition. It's all about God. He says we're ministers, we're servants. He used the analogy of those who sow and those who water. Can I tell you, there's pretty much no more elementary task than sowing and watering. Very little training is required. You know, the Bible says a sower went out to sow. If you know anything about farming, they're just grabbing the seed and they're just throwing it. So I guess you have to have mobility of your arm to do that for talent. Some fell on good ground. Some fell on stony ground. Some got choked out. Some brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 90-fold. And somebody else had to water. If you have a pitcher, water hose. That would just hook sprinklers up to it. Let it do it. Not a lot of talent. Not a lot of skill to do that. And Paul says, that's all we're doing. We're throwing some seed out. Why are you giving us any credit? I mean, yes, somebody had to throw the seed out, and so he did it. Somebody had to water, so Paul comes on, and he waters. Somebody else will come along, and they'll fertilize. Somebody else will come along, and they'll pull weeds. It says, neither is he that sows, neither he that waters. They're nothing. It's all about God. God gives the increase. Our relationship is all connected. In verse 8, he says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Are one. It's not, well, which one's more important, planting or watering? Well, you don't need water if it's not planted. And you can't plant and it won't grow if it's not watered. So they're both one. They're the same. You need both of them. So if we look at that in a ministry, that we need each other. The pastor can get up here and preach, but if nobody's here, who's he preaching to? If they can't get in the parking lot, if they can't get in the door, if the things aren't set up or correct, it's going to be a hindrance. When you realize the air conditioning, the lights, the monitors, everything is on purpose so that you can hear the word of God and somebody might get saved. It's all on purpose. There are people here real early. Some people walk in right on time. Some people come in late. But it's all on purpose. You might hear the word of God. As members of the local church, we're on the same team. We're working together for the same goal, fulfilling the great commission of Jesus Christ. Pastor Cook has his responsibility, and he's planting. I come along, and I'm watering. But neither one of us, we're one. We're working, we're striving together. But we're nothing without Christ. We're nothing without God. And we need all those behind-the-scenes things I've been talking about is just as important. Now, our rewards are individual. The latter half of verse 8 says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We can take heart that God sees and values our labor. Our Heavenly Father is tracking even the least known effort, no matter how far behind the scenes it is. If you're one of those that has to have your name written down, you heard me say it when I did the presentation. It says, Joshua discomfited Amalek. Well, Moses was on the hill holding up the rod of God. Aaron and Hur were holding his hands up, but Joshua got the credit. Isn't that sad how we look at it that way? Remember when Moses' hands came down, people started dying. They started losing the battle. Aaron and Hur said, wait a second, get those arms back up. Then they started winning. Teamwork. All working together for the common goal. Striving together in the ministry. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You may have a role in this church that nobody recognizes. You don't get the attaboy. You don't get the good job. You don't get the, man, that flower looks beautiful. Hey, the nursery looks beautiful. Hey, God keeps perfect records. And I'd much rather God say, well done, than to hear an attaboy from somebody. Yes, trust me, it feels good. We love to know we made a difference. We love to know the mission spoke to you. We love to know that Sunday school teacher impacted your life. Yes, it's great to know that, but if you never hear it, God knows your labor of love to those kids. To whatever ministry it may be, God knows. And God will reward according. And He, trust me, He knows how to give the best gifts, whatever they may be. But there was a divine reliance. Verse 9 and 10. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and everyone shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Paul shifts his focus from our teamwork with one another to our teamwork with God. Together we can accomplish much, but only when we're together with God. It's God that gives the increase. I want to make sure I'm on the right side. I don't want to do this for my pride or for my glory. I want to do it for God. God is our companion in the work. Verse 9 begins, for we are laborers together with God. Have you ever thought of how awesome privilege that is, that Almighty God offers His presence in the midst of our work? You can be out taking care of the yard all by yourself. Nobody around. Nobody even knowing. If you're together with God doing it, how awesome is that? You're singing in your head, singing in your heart, praising God. God, that You'd allow me to take care of this. You'd allow me to have a part of the ministry. Most people think, I could never get up and preach or teach or be the scared of public speaking. But I can be used behind the scenes. We don't raise our hand. I want to have a job that nobody knows and I get no credit for. That's what I want. I want nobody to know. But if it's not about us, and we're just, who are we? We're just servants. God, I want You to get the glory for it. I'm just privileged to be a part of it. Jesus said to His disciples, when He gave the Great Commission, Matthew 28:20, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm with you. We need to realize that God's not only a companion, He's the owner of the whole entire work. Verse 9 continues, you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Paul moves from an agricultural analogy, husbandry, to an architectural analogy, building. And in both cases, the project is God's. It's God's building. It's God's project. It's all God's. And it's God who is the enabler for the work. Paul describes himself as a wise master builder in verse 10. He was careful to point out that in who enabled him to build. He says, according to the grace of God which is given to me. According to the grace of God which is given to me. Just as neither the sower or the one who waters can initiate germination or produce life, but both depend upon God for those miraculous functions. But can I tell you, so it is in the ministry? We can present the gospel. We can share God's love. We can teach the word of God. But God alone can convert a soul and transform a life. I led a guy to the Lord in our church, and he went outside and told everybody, Pastor, just save me. Pastor, just save me. I'm like, just come back. Come back. I was the one that led you to the Lord. Jesus is the one who saves. I can't forgive sins. I can't cleanse your soul. I can't make you whiter than snow. Only God can do that. So like I said, you give credit. Thank God for that Sunday school teacher. Thank God for that pastor. Thank God for golly grandma, husband, whatever it was that presented you with the gospel. But they were just a servant sharing the word of God. It's God that gives the increase. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. You ever thought about it that way? I can study. I can put it all together. I can put a PowerPoint. I can come up here and I can try to present it within my own ability. But without God, I am nothing. He's going to give the increase. The Holy Spirit comes in, and it's the Holy Spirit that can convict, that can encourage, that can rebuke, that can come in and do all those things. I just have to be willing to be a mouthpiece, willing to be used. Yes, Pastor Cook called, and I said, yes, I am available. I will fly down and fulfill that week for you. You go. You relax. And I'll be honest with you. He said only through Thursday. But he'd be back on Thursday. I booked my ticket home for Monday. And I told him, I said, just in case something comes up and you need to stay longer. He's got to deal with family, health issues, move him in a home, out of a home, whatever's got to happen. It's always nice to be able to have just, you always, even on vacation, man, if I just had one more day, if I just had two more days, if I just had. And so I said, I booked my ticket for Monday just in case something comes up and you're not back in time. I'll stay through Sunday. That was my heart behind it. Then I find out Brother Fagali's going to be here. And then I'm like, I was trying to be a blessing for Pastor Cook. And that's like, Brother Fagali's going to be here. This is going to be amazing. I get to hear him. And then my wife's like, what? You flew? I want to fly down. I said, no, you pick VBS. You pick VBS. I can't tell you how excited I am to hear Brother Fagali. Now, once again, he may be old and decrepit by now. I have no idea. He was old when I knew him when he came to Alaska. But his grasp, not just on the Word of God, but bringing it real in the Middle East, especially when it comes to prophecy, I would encourage you to be here. He's been there, done that. He's got a book out, talks about how God protected, provided, all things God's done. But he's just got that accent too, and we love listening to people with accents. So he gets up there, he may preach the exact same message Pastor Cook preached. You'd be like, man, that was amazing, Pastor Cook. Why can't you? It's like, it's the same message. I gave him my notes. It's just a different voice. And I go to Sri Lanka. Just a different voice. Doing the exact same thing. I am nothing and I can do nothing without Christ. And if you'd realize, well, anybody can, you just said anybody can sow. You just said anybody can read or water. No, I said it doesn't take a lot of skill to do that. You still need somebody that says, I'll do it. I'll go water. I'll go fertilize. I'll go pull weeds that God can give you. I want that ground to be perfect. I want that seed to germinate. I want to see it grow. I want to see life. And if just by me helping pull weeds around that missionary, if God wants to give the increase, praise God. Because neither one of us can do without. It's all about teamwork with God and with one another. We need each other. And we definitely need God. We can plan it. We can perform it. But without God, we can do nothing. He gives the increase. Teamwork in ministry. This is what, after 27 years in the ministry, full time, it's like I realize I can come along and just be a blessing to somebody else. And come along and be an encouragement to somebody else. And like I told you, I don't have to be here doing this. I can just hold up Pastor Cook's arms. The whole idea was for him to be back that Sunday, and I would just sit in the pew and say amen and encourage him. That was my whole point. I am nothing. He is nothing. Brother Fagali is nothing. But together with God and with one another, get rid of that competition, that competitiveness, and realize God's allowing us to have Pastor Cook, Pastor Hall, and Brother Fagali. Man, we are so blessed. Do we ever look at it that way? God, I just want to be used by you. No competition, no competitiveness. What can I do to serve you? How can I plug into this church and bloom where I'm planted, and it may be the job that nobody wants? I'll do it. I'm just a servant, just a minister. Didn't Jesus come to minister? Wasn't it Jesus who washed their feet when they should have been washing his feet? Just think about it for a minute. Can you imagine Jesus walking up to you kneeling down at your feet and washing your feet. Most would be like, Peter, no. Don't touch my feet. You should not be washing my feet. Yet he was an example. Humbling himself, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that we might be saved. And if the ultimate example was a servant, how much more should I be a servant? And when I come along in unity, striving together, imagine what this church could do for the cause of Christ if we got rid of the competitiveness and we realize I am nothing, you are nothing, he is nothing, God is everything. God, may you get the glory for all that's done at Harvest Baptist Church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for Paul writing this down and instructing us today, years later, that we're nothing without you, that we're just to be servants, that you are the ultimate role model in that area. God, help us to not think too highly of ourselves. Help us to realize, I just want to serve you in any capacity. And God, if you would allow me to do that, I'd be so honored and so grateful. Lord, I pray for Pastor Cook. I pray you'll give him the rest and the time away he needs. I pray he comes back on fire and just ready to preach his heart out again. And I pray you will guide in this church. And Lord, may you get the honor and glory for all that's done. We will be sure to praise you and thank you for how good you've been to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd stand to your feet, your head's bowed and eyes closed. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you say today, I don't even know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If I died today, I do not know I'd go to heaven. I'd encourage you to come forward. We'll have somebody take the Word of God and show you how you could be saved. But maybe you'd say, you know, I want to see God use me. I just want to make myself available. You may want to kneel this altar and just say, God, if you could use me in any capacity, I'd say yes. But just do business with the Lord. As the music plays, you talk to God and obey what He'd have you to do.
I have it to your attention just for a moment, I do want to thank you for your attentiveness today. Obviously, I get to see your faces. I can see if you're paying attention or if you're wandering off or whatever it is. And I thank you for your attention today. I know I probably went a little longer than Pastor Cook, but I'm the guest speaker, so I can do that and then leave and you get to whatever it may be. I do encourage you to be back tonight. I will be speaking again. Tonight is at 6 p.m. I do encourage you to come back. I do want to remind you on this coming week, as far as the midweek service is at 6 p.m. Oh, excuse me. Is that right? Where are we at? Midweek is 6:30. Tonight, 6 p.m., Wednesday, 6:30. Don't forget about the Singspiration on the 31st. On next Tuesday is the men's Bible study and coffee time. The theme is falling and calling at a Judges chapter 2, verse 16. If you take notes on that or study for that, falling and calling, Judges 2, 16 for the Tuesday men's meeting. Do continue to pray for Pastor and his wife as they're traveling, and obviously pray for Pastor Fergali. He'll be flying in. I think they all come back on Thursday. Pray for them. Pray for Brother Fergali as he's doing the prophecy conference. And like I said, I encourage you to make plans. I know that's another Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or whatever it is on the dates-wise, but I can almost guarantee you will not be disappointed if you can come to hear what he's got to say, especially prophecy in the end times. It will be exciting. But once again, thank you for being here, and you are dismissed. Have a blessed day, and see you tonight, Lord willing, 6 p.m. Amen.